Texas, and they have started a ministry called Blessing Israeli Believers, and they moved to Israel. And they moved over there for the purpose of telling the Jewish people about the seed of Abraham, those who believe in Yeshua. And that's what they were doing for quite a while. And it's just got a little dicey here with the pandemic and a new prime minister and citizenship issues or whatever, and moved back. And I said, "Oh, we've got to come to our folks. We've got to speak to us." And I'm excited that they're here. And I told you a while ago, not too long ago, only a few weeks ago, their place they live, we're overlooking, they have a cup of coffee on their back porch, overlooking the city of Galilee. You know, that's just not right. You know that? Just not right. And so, but yet, they bring with great joy the love of the Lord and be here with us today. And I want you to have a long time and begin bringing that invitation as you all need to him. So let me pray for him and let the Word of God speak to us. Father, we love you. We know that you have orchestrated every single moment to bring us to this point. And I am thankful for it. Confidential in knowing something you're going to say to us today through our friend, Brother Doug. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name, Father, just to be Jesus today with us. And Lord, have our Holy Spirit open to what you have to say to us. And I pray this, Father, through your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bible prophecy is the way he has determined, and I would add that this is the mission of Jesus. He takes your time, how to keep those promises to begin the Lord. And so Psalm 25 says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Do you want to understand from the Lord his covenant today? He says this in Isaiah. He says he distinguishes himself from the false God through what? By the prophecy. He says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, who is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, and things are not yet done. Say, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my blessing. Calling a bird of prey from the east, a man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. Everybody say, he will bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. And here he's talking about calling Cyrus. Here would be the future, 150 years later, the Persian king, to judge Babylon. And he mentions Cyrus by name 150 years before he would take up that position in Persia. The Lord is in control. He has the wisdom of getting not only to know it, he's causing it. He has a plan. Amen? And so, like a train never leaves its track, right? The track of the Lord's covenants and Bible prophecy. And the Lord is the train. And I tell people, get off the track and go on the track. Because he will do what his covenant word, his prophetic word says he'll do. And so, you have an understanding of this eternal relationship between covenant prophecy and telling you that some of the events get between what positions you for grace. And that's what. I may say hallelujah 100 times this morning, and it won't be. Amen. Because it's worthy of praise and glory, honor, and standing in Jesus. So we're going to start off with, it's not the first covenant of the Bible, we're going to start off with the Abraham covenant. And if we're going to look at a lot of the Word of God that we've all agreed we're going to receive today, we'll get ready to spread it. And we're going to hear a lot of the Word of the Living God today. And I don't know if you've noticed, and I don't believe that. You know why? Because if I did, it's hard to listen that fast. So stay with me, okay? And so we're going to look at Genesis 12 when we start with the Abraham covenant. I'm going to call him Abraham now, later in the Lord Jesus' Hebrew's name. Abraham. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation and bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and curse him who curses you. And you, all the families of the earth, shall be blessed. So, seven perfect promises here. The first one, the Lord has determined there will be a great, mighty covenant nation. He says in here that he'll bless those who bless Abraham and curse those who curse him. So I want to take a second and look at the seventh promise with you. Okay? In you, Abraham, in you, that all the nations of the world shall be blessed. Actually, in Galatians chapter 3, that's explained pretty well, and it's very exciting. Look with me. Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who have faith are sons of Abraham, and the scripture foreseen that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham before him, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So that those who have faith are blessed with believing Abraham. We see in verses 6 and 7, Abraham is saved by God's people, like you and me. And then we see that he believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. He believed in the one who would come and keep these seven promises perfectly, yes? And we also see that believers in the nations in America, in Thailand, what does that mean? If you're born again, or as they say in Texas, if you're born again, if you're born again, then you are a fulfillment of this 3,500-year-old promise. Amen? Hallelujah. And it gets better. It gets gooder than that. What do you mean? It says those who are faith, those who are sons and daughters of Abraham, are blessed with believing Abraham. I'm not like you, blessed and distressed. I'm too annoying to be disappointed. And so we walk around like this, right? But if we understand covenant promises, we say, no, no, I'm blessed. I can't be blessed. Sworn to go to hell. I can't. And you shouldn't either. And you shouldn't either. Let me tell you about this. And so we see the confirmation of this covenant in blood. It's confirmed in blood. Now, I'm going to read a whole chapter of the Bible. Now, ladies, don't think about the grocery store. Men, don't think about the truck. You can change your oil or you know what? Stay with me. Are you with me? Okay. Hallelujah. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a visit, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I have a sealed and exceedingly great reward. Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me? See, I know childless me here in my house, Eliezer of Damascus. Abram said, look, if you need a offspring, you need one of my house is my son. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven, and count the stars of your temple. And he said, and so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted him for righteousness. Then he said, well, I am the Lord who brought you out of the rebel Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit. Said, Lord God, how shall I know that I'm one day? So he said, then bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a pigeon. And he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. Are you with me? Okay. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, roaring great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abram, most certainly that your descendants will be strangers in the land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them there for 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve, for I will judge afterward, they shall come out with great possession. As for you, you shall give your fathers in peace, you shall be buried at a good old age. But in a fourth generation, they shall return them for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to pass when the sun went down on the stars, behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between the various pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, your descendants I have given this land from the river Egypt to the great river the Euphrates, the Nile, the Kenites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, the Jebusites, the Ephraimites, the Japhians, the Turamites, and so on. So, verse 1, we saw that the Lord is Abram, his sealed and great reward. We also saw in verse 5, he said, count the stars of you. So shall your descendants be. We saw who some of your descendants are. You, me, what does this mean? If the Lord is Abraham, the father of faith, his shield and great reward, it's my shield too. He's your shield and he's your great reward, even in the only way that is my time. No, especially in times like these. Yes, don't forget that. Now, Abram, we saw in verse 6 again, he was saved by grace through faith. And then we saw the tongue walk through the blood. What do you mean? Well, back in ancient times, in Bible times, when they then would make agreements, they would make covenants, they didn't have stacks of papers with 10 lawyers. What did they have? They had Abram. And they would cut their hands. And they would walk through their blood together and make covenants. Blood covenant can be punishable by death. Real simple, no lawyers needed. Right? And so the Lord loved Abram and did, and we've got this problem. We can't practice these promises to God. And the Lord didn't want to kill his son Abraham, so he threw him asleep. And the Lord came out that in a representation of a smoking oven, a fiery horse came forth. And so, having said that, I've got some questions for you. Just to clear this out, this is one of the few places of crowd participation, audience participation. Are you ready? So, Abraham would die, and his covenant promises would pass, and they passed to Isaac for his son. Really good. And then Esau for Jacob. Really good. And the Lord changed Jacob's name too. Hallelujah. Somebody's been teaching the Bible here. And so, so bless the Lord. And so, all the covenants were from Abraham onward were made in the covenant. There are two covenant groups we see to come that the Lord would enfold. Shall be your beginning of month, it shall be the first month of the year. You speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take one shovel land according to the house of his father, a land or a household. And if the household is too small for the land, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your house for the lamb. The lamb shall be without blemish. The male of the first year may take it. Shall be a sign for you on the house where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you, destroy you, and I strike the land of Egypt. Now, stay with me down to verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb, and you shall take a bunch of bishop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lentil. So they were to strike the wooden doorpost with the blood of the lamb. And so the Lord probably delivers the children of Israel out of bondage into the wilderness and brings them to Mount Sinai. And this covenant is very different than the Abraham covenant. So Israel is awake and committing to keep the laws of God and included in the Moses covenant. Exodus 19. I don't want to have to go back and get anybody. Exodus 19, beginning in verse 3. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain, saying, thus it shall be to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on Egypt's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, keep my covenant, and you shall be a special treasure to me to all people, for all the earth is mine. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to you, the children of Israel. Now we're going to go to Exodus 24, and we're going to see this again. And keeping, they were going to keep the law, and also you see the covenant. And Moses took half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the hearing of the people. And he said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words. And actually, the Hebrew here, it says the word cut, not made, but cut the covenant. Now, we're moving forward to Deuteronomy 28, 68 verses, but I'll just keep up. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to land here. So, Deuteronomy 28, one end of the earth to the other, and then to serve other gods to really harsh them when you stand among those nations, you shall find no rest, nor shall the soul of your foot have a resting place. And there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you, you shall fear day and night, and have no assurance of your life. In the morning you say, oh, that it were evening. At evening you say, oh, that it were morning. Just what he said, he scattered a people to the nation of Israel, and they would experience these curses down through the generation. And this is one of the reasons I was born in America. No, in Israel. Right? Another question. Look at Galatians chapter 3. And this I say that the law was 430 years later, and not a remember that Jesus Christ had seen David, which raised from the dead, according to my gospel, which I saw. Savior himself, I think he speaks very well for himself. Look what he says in Revelation 22. I, Jesus, have set my angel to testify to you these things in the churches, and the root and the offspring of David. And I feel like this, since the word feels like that he's the son of David, it's really important. It's really important. Right? And so, there's another passage in the Romans we're going to look at later. And I want to thank Don and Amber and Serena that are back here. They're just such a blessing. Thank you so much. And so, let's move to the greatest covenant of all, the crown jewel of the covenants, the new covenant. The new covenant. And interestingly, in the new covenant, we see all the first verse of the New Testament says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. This covenant is essential and important to the Lord. And so, in John chapter 1, John the Baptist, he points to the son of Jesus. What do you say? Well, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, remember, 4 days before Passover, the Lamb of God comes down the Mount of Olives, where we've been so many times together, right, in Israel, and he comes down into Jerusalem, and for 4 days, they pick the Lamb of God from the priest's house and run into the gate. So we pay taxes for the Lamb of God. We've gotten here, because if he says, pay taxes, Jewish people come down on the Mount of Olives. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. And so he says, no. Give me a point. There's a scripture on it. Rather to Caesar, that was to Caesar, but to God, that was to God. He always has an answer, amen. He always has an answer. And so we see this special day called Passover, and the Jewish people, ever since the time of the Exodus, every year, Passover, we go through the different ceremonies we mentioned in Exodus, yes, and set a Passover table, and there's a Passover Seder. We finish this together, Pastor Sonny and Pleasant, and have the telling of what took place at Passover, right? And though most Jewish people in the world today certainly don't yet believe in Messiah Jesus, he's at the table every year, isn't he? Well, the most special Passover Seder of all is in Matthew 26. And he said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover in your house with my disciples. Down to verse 26. And as they were eating with me, amen. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the what? New covenant, which is shed for many, the remission of sins. I know you've seen bread like this before, but that's the same point. So he would have held bread up like this, see the stripes on it, representing what? And so, then what happened? The Lamb of God. Amen. always saved me. Why? Because I tied the blood of the Lamb to the doorpost of my heart. Yes. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. And the Lord, by His grace, if you're cooperating with the repentance of your sin and receiving Jesus for your Savior, as He applied the blood of the Lamb to the doorpost of your heart, at the day of judgment, guess what? The wrath of God will pass over you. Why? Because we have the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost of our heart. Hallelujah! Amen? I've got something to shout about. Amen? And so, this is our Savior. This is who we are. You know? And I do want to remind you that He made this new covenant with Israel. And the place I want to share with you here in Jeremiah chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, which they have covenant by the end of the year, and on the land of Egypt. And so the Lord has appointed. We are in covenant with Him now, and so a Gentile one day in the church, but He has a prophetic plan. He's going to keep all of those covenant promises. But I want to, before I end this cover here, I want to share with you something the Lord called us to do. And I'm going to take a little bit of time here to describe a prophecy, and then I believe I pray for heaven to come back. Amen? And so I want to share with you something from Matthew 28. This is the Savior's giving us from Mark 11. Yes? He's given you, me, Mark 11. Not just Pastor Sonny. Not just Miss Gilly. He's given us, Mark 11. Look at Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to the resurrected saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to what? The next week? No, to the end of the age. What's that mean? What happens in the next stage? What is the idea that we're still a new age movement in at the end of this age? Guess what? If the kingdom of God, King Jesus, is the CEO, the head honcho, whatever you want to say, listen, this king, he doesn't operate by a vote. Yes? He doesn't operate by a vote. The kingdom of God is what He says to do. Amen? And this time of this foolishness is about over, which we'll hear more about tonight. It's about over in a little bit this morning, y'all. It's about over. Why? Because listen, I've got to say something. Pull back your toes. It's like a person who's like burgers in the church. It's like a friend said, I mentioned it to someone the other night. They said, we have no time for church games. We have a king that's coming. Amen. We have a king that's coming. It's time to straighten up and fly right, as my grandmother used to say. And so, I'm going to. So, He said, with the word to go and make disciples, now is the time to go. Now is the time for you to be a gospel person, not just a church person. Now is the time to go. I'm going to send gospel tracts out there. Why are they sitting there? Good idea. Good. I'll be filling that up every month. Right? Every week. You should be out with your tracts. All people are so familiar with the word. All of it. Everything they try is wrapping it up and sticking it to the hands of the people. They throw out that. I'm telling you. People should look at you and say, and I don't mean like, you know, I mean that person looks like they've got answers. Amen? And we have the only answer. Yes? And so, put a smile on your face, get filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God, and go out there and share the gospel. Yes, that Jesus the Lord died on the cross for us and rose again, and He has a plan for you, and it's a good plan. He wants to save you, to forgive you, He gave you eternal life. And I tell my Jewish friends, it's a really good deal. You should take it. So now we're going to move on to Bible prophecy for just a little bit, just an entry and read your whistle a little bit, okay? So look with me at the beginning of, at the end of Matthew 23. At the end of Matthew 23, we're going to say, three things. Okay, the first is the Lord pronouncing judgment on His city, Jerusalem. The second is the judgment on the temple in Jerusalem. And the third is that those who are going to tell that the Lord cast the Jewish people from the earth of the earth, there will be Jews in Jerusalem and nobody can stop it. Who will cry out to the Lord, Baruch Habab, Hashem Habab, bless you. from Jerusalem north, and drove the prophets and stoned them to the center of the hall. And I went together with children together. I said, "Man, get up from 600 of them and come out and go and see yourself at the temple." It was left in Jerusalem. But he said, "There's still no more to be saved unless it is through the coming of the Lord." Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up and started to go into the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all those things? But surely I say, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." And certainly, you can trust the Lord from the Lord. Just as he said, when those came in and shattered the building and destroyed that temple, not one stone left upon another. Yes. And then later on, another uprising of Jewish people was squashed by the Romans, cast into the Jews out. And so the disciples are impressed by what he says to them about the temple and the holy city. Right? And look at verses 3 through 6 of Matthew 24. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, what will the Lord do for you? And what will be the sign for coming to you and your kingdom?" And he asked him, "What will you do for me? What will you do for me? What will you do for me?" And he answered and said to them, "No one deceives you, but you will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. You will know the Lord is the Lord of the Lord. So you do not trouble, for all these things will come to pass, but the end is not yet." And just like the Lord said, all this destruction in Jerusalem, and then a man named Bar Kokhba is proclaimed to be the Messiah, and another later Roman, a crushing of the Jewish people in like 130 AD, and that's where the Romans renamed Israel Palestine. Palestine. After the Philistines, Palestine means. And then they asked the Lord, "Can we destroy it?" And he said, "There's a sign that says there's a remnant. We don't have to do that. We're going to go over the planet. The Lord has to destroy it." And listen, I believe all that he's talking about here, and that's why some people have not yet, are things that are going on. Every generation has these terrible things, but it's not been that generation until the end of the everything you know is about the kingdom. His word that he's sending you today warns us everything you know by book has begun and is about the kingdom way that you're unimaginable in every word of the Lord. Nation will rise against nation. The Greek word is ethnic. That's where we get ethnic word. Right? Global ethnic violence like never before. It kicked off. And Chinese communism, about another 100 million, 200 million just from those two revolutions. Then you look at the different genocides through the decades, Pol Pot in the '70s in Cambodia, millions from Bosnia, the Vietnamese, millions from the '90s, earthquakes in Rwanda. In the '90s, Rwanda, where the Christians stole 18,000 churches in a hundred days. And then there's a COVID, 5.5 million. That crossed Africa, where it's one of the most dangerous places of all the Christians today. And we're going to go to where the military runs with the army and killing precious Christians. And in Syria, 500 million Christians. I can go on third one, test 26. Test 26. Around the whole world, there is a global pestilence. And then you think of HIV, AIDS, what's the most dangerous animal on the planet today? Mosquito, malaria, and many other diseases. Ebola, and the viruses are leaking. I love being around people who love the Lord. You know, I love this morning, what we're doing today. My wife and I